But
I'd like to go back, kind of take you guys back to your past, because I think you were both connected to this. Talk a little bit about conspiracy theories, because I know that you guys were involved in looking into the Kennedy assassination. And Tom, it sounds like you just sort of stumbled into that. Is that right?
You know how I stumbled into it? In the town of Athens, Texas. I was living in Tucson and sort of got run out of town by the Justice Department. I was subpoenaed to a federal grand jury that was investigating the anti-war movement. And, I keep thinking if part of their motive was to get people like me to stop working in the anti-war movement, it succeeded to a certain extent. I left Tucson. And just to chill out, as the kids say these days, I moved to Austin. This was 72, early 72, for 6 months. And ate at the Delta Diner, a place that nobody remembers. Scoop, do you remember the Delta Diner?
No, I'm afraid I missed that one.
It was a hippie feminist diner that was, I think, in the basement of a church. I'm not sure. In any event, I read in the paper that there was going to be an auction of all of the artifacts from Jack Ruby's Carousel Club. This is curious. You know, who would go to such a morbid event other than me? Who would go? Who wants to buy things from Jack Ruby's Carousel Club? Jack Ruby being the guy who killed Oswald, who was accused of killing Kennedy. So here we are. It's like being three steps removed from the Kennedy assassination. So I get in my car and I drive to Athens on the appointed day. And there are maybe 80, 90 people there, some of them very serious bidders, some of them frivolous bidders like myself, some morbidly curious, some people who are very much into it. I remember one guy bought the big sign that said Carousel Club on it. The reason all this stuff was in Athens is that after Ruby is jailed for killing Oswald, obviously the Carousel Club closes. The guy who owned the building put all of the effects of the Carousel Club in storage in essentially a warehouse in Athens. And after a few years, 8 or 9 years, he said, Jack Ruby's not coming back. I might as well just sell off all this stuff. So the guy who owned the warehouse and the guy who owned the effects put everything up for auction. My goal in going to the auction, frankly, was to buy Jack Ruby's kitchen sink. I thought, if I'm going to have a memento of the Kennedy assassination, it's going to be Jack Ruby's kitchen sink. Well, as it happens, I did not get Jack Ruby's kitchen sink. I'm embarrassed to say I went out to the Dairy Queen for a few minutes and missed it. But I came back, and there were just a few items left up for auction, and I spent $1, and I bought Jack Ruby's can opener. Now, I can hear the silence at your end. I still have it. I've put it on exhibit a few times. It still opens cans. It's a little rusty. But I'm now three turns removed from the Kennedy assassination. Let's see, Kennedy to Oswald to Ruby to the can opener to me, four or five levels removed. So that's my story. Now, I just thought the notion of Jack Ruby's can opener and Jack Ruby's kitchen sink was such that I wrote it up for a magazine called Sundance, brilliant magazine put out by the best of the underground press. It lasted all of three issues, and I wrote it up for Sundance and got actually a lot of feedback on it, and eventually it became the core of my first book, which was about the Kennedy assassination, called The Assassination Please Almanac, which was sort of a scoop. Tell me if you think this is accurate. I call it a consumer's guide to conspiracy theories. Is that does that sound reasonable?
That's quite accurate, actually. A good illustration is Paul Mavridi's diagram of Daley Plaza with all the projected bullet paths.
I would like to say, at the outset, it is a black humor look at the Kennedy assassination. And for the listening
you think?
Public, you should know that Scoop Sweeney, the host of this program you're now listening to, was one of my chief advisors and researchers and dishwashers and such matters of that nature.
And bartender as well.
Bartender, yeah, thank you very much, yes. So that became the first book. Nobody really knew what to make of it because it didn't reach a conclusion. I do interviews, at a local station in Seattle. Who killed Kennedy? I said, if I knew who killed Kennedy, I don't think Channel 4 in Seattle is really the appropriate venue to let the cat out of the bag. But I did present a lot of conspiracy theories. I think, Scoop, we did eliminate a number of theories, including the one the Warren Commission adopted, but I don't know that we reached a definite conclusion of who did.
we reached multiple conclusions, and basically is I don't know.
Yes, multiple conclusions. Yes, like the multiple lone nut theory.
Yeah, what we really came down to was my part was to research political assassinations other than the Kennedy family, and
yes.
We were able to point out that it's an all-American sport, and it wasn't limited just to the politically powerful, because the real definition in Webster's was the killing for gain of a prominent person. Well, a lot of these people were prominent perhaps in their families, but not to the Webster Dictionary definition. And so we came up with 200 years worth, I believe, wasn't it?
We came up with, there was one year in there where we didn't have, we just searched everywhere. We could not come up with a lynching or a killing in one particular year.
I think we finally just punted and found a wounding.
Yeah, pending. But, and it goes up to January of this year here in Tucson, where everybody said, well, it wasn't a political shooting when Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was injured and the federal court judge and others were killed. So, well, of course it was. This is a guy who was attending a public civic event. He took aim at a politician. Of course it's an assassination attempt. And
yeah.
So I don't buy this stuff that, well, this wasn't a political assassination. This was just some lone nut. Of course it was political killing.
Lone nuts, another thing that seems to be part of the American collective unconscious, I guess.
You know, yes.
There's one for every, whatever your belief, there's going to be a lone nut to back you up.
So why do you think there's so many conspiracy theories associated with the Kennedy assassination?
Because the facts initially did not come out. It's as simple as that. It had facts come out as they were discovered rather than swept under the rug. I think there would have been more reasonable analysis and conclusions that were more firm and more concrete than, it could have been this, it could have been that, and then 20 years later somebody dies and Penn Jones in Midlothian, Texas says, well, that's just another mysterious death. Well, people die. It's as simple as that. So, a lot of conspiracy. I mean, one of the things I discovered after, working for months and months burrowing into all these conspiracy theories, I really don't buy most of them. I think a lot of them are just wacko, and they're just reach a conclusion and then you work backwards to support it. There's one of the major political parties uses that even today to augment its positions. But one of the things to answer your question, one of the reasons that conspiracy theories abound is that there's nothing, you may be able to do it now, but for many years you could not get a master's or a doctorate in assassination attempts. And there just was not real serious investigation done by the Warren Commission. Warren Commission started out with a conclusion and worked its way backwards, and they did a very good job of it. But if you look at the facts, I always got a kick out of Mark Lane, who wrote Rush to Judgment, which was really the first major work to question the Warren Commission. For the next 25, 30 years, they'd say, well, Mr. Lane, what new evidence do you have? What do you know now that you didn't know before? He said, new evidence? What's wrong with the old evidence? So this old evidence is still there, and, where are we now? Let's see, 1963 to 2011, we're pretty far down the line. So it's, somebody solved the Kennedy, the Lincoln assassination, or John Wilkes Booth, there's still some unanswered questions there. And I suspect there will always be unanswered questions about the Kennedy assassination.
One of the prime conspiracy theories was Fidel did it. And that's my sly way of segueing over to Cuba. You just returned from Cuba, and did Fidel do it?
I don't recall hearing that he did. I remember that was one of the conspiracy theories, that he put some people up to it. But again, it's one of those theories that starts with a conclusion and works its way backwards, and not very well.
Exactly.
I think it was supposedly Fidel Castro, Sam Giancana, working with the CIA, and Lyndon Baines Johnson, and possibly with some very rich Texans and guys from Louisiana, plus possibly a few Russians.
How about Wonder Warthog?
He was in there too.
Yeah, I think that's a viable theory. go to TomMillerBooks.com, where you can learn more about Tom's writings, his current activities, and perhaps even watch him tilt at the occasional windmill. With John Dubkowski, I'm Scoop Sweeney. This is the Plutopia News Network, 20 minutes into the future.